You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Monday, January 8th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Going to be a short pod today. I'm feeling pretty under the weather. There's something going around, and I don't know if I've caught it or not, but I'm not feeling great today. So I'm going to keep it short and sweet. The first segment, we're going to discuss Stephen Curry's crazy 45 points, 8 threes against the Clippers in the matinee on Saturday. Most of those shots didn't come from set plays, so it's just kind of what Steph does, and we're going to get into that a little bit. Second segment is going to be Rookie Watch, where we discuss Jordan Bell, his maturation, and how he's coping with playing fewer minutes than he was playing when Steph was out, and then also go around the league and check out how all the rookies are doing. And in the third segment, we're going to preview the game against the Nuggets tonight at Oracle. You can catch my media on Forbes.com. I've also been featured on BleacherReport.com. I've got some cool stuff coming out in January and February. I'll keep you posted on all of that. As usual, make sure you go to LockedOnWarriors.com, bookmark that page. Go to Facebook, Locked On Warriors, Locked On NBA Net, like, follow, do all that good stuff. You can reach me on Twitter at Koji Tare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, or via email at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com, and we can chop it up. All right, so it's time for segment one. No Kevin Durant again on Saturday, and Steph took over, did what Steph does. 45 points in three quarters, eight threes, some dimes. And most of it came throughout. It was natural. It was organic. And I don't mean to say that it came through set plays. It came through basketball. It came through Warriors plays. If you're running the ball up the court and you've got a big man backpedaling in front of you, pull up. Curry did that three or four times. Knocked down a bunch from the top of the key. Well, not really the top of the key, more like 28 feet. That's Warriors basketball in the age of Stephen Curry. I believe it was Curry's first three of the night came on the dime of the night. Klay Thompson threw a cross-court pass to Draymond Green, who catches the ball with his left hand in motion and flips it to Stephen Curry on his right side. So he catches the ball and is immediately making the pass as the ball hits his mitts. Finds Curry open for three. That's an option, but that's not the set play. The play wasn't to get Curry a shot. Draymond made that happen with quick hands and quick thinking. And that's one of the best things about the Warriors' offense. There's plenty of room for set plays to get shots for Curry, Klay, Durant, whomever, but there's also option plays. And the option plays keep defenders on their toes. They keep opposing teams on their toes. And when you have the kind of firepower that the Warriors have, even when Klay Thompson is having an off night, you can have Curry go off for 45 off of these fast breaks, option plays. And, you know, that's why he's the player of the week this week. And it's not just option plays, but simple, like, backyard basketball. It's just ball movement and finding the open person. And with the way Curry moves without the ball in his hand, he was the open person a lot of the time. Some of Curry's offense was fueled by the defense making foolish decisions, like, for example, going under a screen set by JaVale McGee at the top of the key instead of going over the screen. That is a bucket. Though, if you go over the screen, you risk a Curry drive to the basket. He shot 16 free throws, making 15. It's a career high for him. So he was scoring in every which way. That said, it should be a hard and fast rule across the NBA never to go under a screen when Stephen Curry is involved in a pick and roll at the top of the key. It's just bad defense. A lot of Curry's scoring also came from rim runs, transition, getting to the basket. He had some feeds from Iguodala, from Draymond Green, and some drives. Got fouled a lot. Most of the offense was just so simple. He uses screens so well. He moves his body so well. He got people up in the air with pump fakes, which Steve Kerr loved. And there was one, I was really hoping that shot would go in, where he got his defender up in the air with a pump fake at the top of the key, third quarter, and threw up a left-handed crazy shot that almost went in. That would have been the shot of the night. I heard a stat recently from Dave Feldman when Curry was out, the Warriors were averaging 105 points a game, and with him back in the lineup, they're averaging 128. That's a huge, huge, huge difference. Curry in this game had an offensive rating of 156 and a defensive rating of 96 in this game for a spread of 60. That's a net rating of 60 for an entire game, 30 minutes. Granted, the game changed when Blake Griffin went down with a concussion, taking an inadvertent elbow from JaVale McGee, but I don't think Steph was going to allow this Clippers team to beat him. He just looked like he was having so much fun out there. And, I heard Clay say recently, it's a luxury when you have an off night for Steph to just go out and casually score 45 points. And that's what it was. It was just casual. There were no stakes. It didn't feel like, you know, it was a day game even. And he's just like, yeah, I'm just going to take the open shots, take the shots that I get, and see if they go down. And they did. But there are other players on this team, and I want to get to the Warriors rookie Jordan Bell pretty soon. But first, I want to talk to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. If your company is seeking out men between the ages of 18 and 44, you need look no further than the Locked On Warriors podcast. We're listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that's your target demographic, get at me. You can contact me at AlicoCarter11@gmail.com, and I will give you all the details. Our rates are very reasonable. So hit me up. So I haven't talked about Jordan Bell in a while. He hasn't gotten as many chances to ball out as he did when Stephen Curry was out of the lineup. And when Draymond was out of the lineup and he was starting, he started 8 games in the month of December, playing an average of about 20 to 25 minutes in those games. Even when he wasn't starting, before Steph came back, he was still getting 20 minutes a game. But fewer chances. I think it's just matchups, honestly, for him to get out there and do his thing. Kerr said this before, but it seems as though he considers him the kind of backup slash insert starter when somebody's injured for the bigs. And David West is their number one guy off the bench, and then JaVale comes in if necessary. So Jordan Bell definitely above JaVale on the depth chart right now. One of the games I want to highlight came against the Lakers back on the 22nd of December. He started this game, played 25 minutes, 9 of 13 from the field, 2 of 2 from the line, 10 total rebounds, including 6 offensive, 3 assists, a steal, a block, 20 points and 10 rebounds. It was really his jewel of the season, his coming out party, if you will. In that game, he registered an offensive rating of 150, a defensive rating of 106, and a net rating of 44. That offensive rating and net rating are his high water marks for the season, though he's posted many, many better defensive rating scores in his heavy minutes and light minutes. So he can do everything. And that's the thing about Jordan Bell that you really love is that when he comes on the court, you know he's going to be playing defense the best he can as a rookie, which means he's going to miss some assignments. He's going to jump on some pump fakes. He's going to do some of those things that rookies do. But for the most part, he's a reasonable facsimile of a hybrid between, say, like a Draymond and a JaVale McGee. Someone who does work to block shots, plays good on-ball defense, but also plays the passing lanes well and is smart enough to help when help is necessary. Though sometimes he's a little over-eager on the help side. But I encourage you to go back and watch highlights of that game because it was his best game of the season. And he's just so explosive. What he does is just so exciting on the court. He had some great minutes alongside Kevon Looney in like a 4-5-4-5 situation in the last few games. And I really love watching them play together. They clearly have chemistry on that second unit. And they're both long, rangy, and it's almost like I wouldn't call it Twin Towers, but on the defensive end, you really feel their presence. There's some other really good rookies out there too, obviously. It's one of those crazy years where the rookie class is just blowing everybody away. And I read an article that basically said, like, would Malcolm Brogdon make this year's all-rookie team, last year's rookie of the year? That's a fair question. I'm not sure he would. With players, obviously, Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Kyle Kuzma, those guys are locks. And then, of course, there's Lauri Markkanen, Dennis Smith Jr., Lonzo Ball, John Collins on the Hawks, De'Aaron Fox with the Sacramento Kings, and even players like Mike James and Bogdan Bogdanovic who are veterans, but playing in their first year in the league. You can make a case for all of those players over Malcolm Brogdon. Not all of them, but most of them. And so the 2017 draft was extremely, extremely fruitful for the National Basketball Association, and I'm really excited to see the second half of the season, who really makes the chase for that Rookie of the Year award, who really makes the chase to be a contributor on a playoff team. It's looking like, along with Jordan Bell, it's going to be Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, potentially with the Jazz. They're out of the playoffs right now, but they could make the playoffs. And Jason Tatum, who are going to be the rookies who shine in the playoffs. Looking forward to that a lot. All right, it's time to transition to tonight's game against the Denver Nuggets. The last time the Nuggets met the Warriors, they forced the Warriors into 24 misses from three, 3 of 27. And the Warriors lost that game. Surprise, surprise. This one should be a little bit different, one where Stephen Curry will be in the starting lineup. It's unclear if Kevin Durant will be back. We haven't heard news on that yet. The injury report is full of names. Omri Caspi dealing with a hip contusion, likely to play. Curry experiencing left knee soreness, likely to play. Durant, right calf strain, unclear. Draymond Green, right knee soreness, likely to play. Iguodala, left knee soreness, likely to play. Livingston, hip tightness, likely available to play. So a lot of bumps and bruises on this squad right now. Obviously, it doesn't seem like anything too serious. It's nice. I think what the Warriors have started to do is to list whatever injury at all, just in case they need an excuse to leave a player out. So list every injury, every little thing. Because the old DNP rest rules are out the window. You can't rest players the same way you used to. You can't rest players on natties. You can't rest players when you're playing on the road. But you can sit them because of an injury. And there's a lot of injuries throughout the NBA season. We don't hear about all of them. Except now the Warriors are starting to advertise all of them. Every single one. So you've got contusions, you've got soreness, you've got bumps and bruises. Sometimes it's worth it to let a guy sit out a game, heal. Like, look what they did with Steph. They could have brought Steph back a week earlier, but they didn't. They let him nurse his injury, get his conditioning back up, and come out, be ready to play at a high level. He was ready to play. He could have played on Christmas, but that's not how the Warriors handle things. And I'm starting to appreciate that. When you're this deep and you have this much talent, there's no reason to risk anything, especially when your goal is nothing short of a ring. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Kevin Durant tonight. The Warriors seem to be doing just fine without him, but they'll need him come playoff time. So it's going to be exciting to see this team at full strength. I know everybody is looking forward to when they're fully healthy, but there's no rush. The Nuggets just lost to the Sacramento Kings on Saturday. They've been winning more games than they've been losing lately, but a lot of L's tucked in with a lot of W's over their last 10 or 12. They're currently 21-18 and holding down one of the last four spots in the Western Conference. The Nuggets are still without Paul Millsap, and they've been without Juan Hernan Gomez for the last four games due to an undisclosed illness. But they always play the Warriors hard, so the Warriors are going to have to get up for this one and do the opposite of shitting the bed. That's my pod for today. Told you it was going to be a short one. I'm going to try to get a nap in and maybe some Advil before this game at 7:30 p.m. Join me tomorrow where I'll be recapping this game, doing my Warrior of the Week segment in part two, and having some fun with some Warrior subjects in part three. So should be a fun show tomorrow, and hopefully I'll be feeling better. But thanks for listening, and as always, stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.